happened to him. He would scream, struggle as if someone was choking him, and then fall back to sleep. I went back to sleep too and didn't think too much.
These are not a figment of our imagination, but an actual place in different planes.
He kept seeing another man in the house. It was as if he was watching.
It happened a second time where I saw this blue creature's friend, a similar looking humanoid with a darker fur color.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com.
Hello everyone, we are approaching our 2023 season break in 4 more episodes, including this. Now today we have 2 confessions that has something to do with being out of the body. Although there are only 2 confessions, but the discussion goes quite deep. Listen to meeting other world beings and people change after marriage. I believe many husbands out there can understand this phenomenon. My name is Adam, and it is my pleasure to introduce our host, the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay, and the immortal Jonathan Lim. Only on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy.
Welcome back, John.
I'm still laughing at your Hotel 81 theme song. Come and book a room in the afternoon in a sea of blankets. Hotel 81, that's a theme song for you, okay?
This show was brought to you by Fragrance Hotel.
Fragrance, come on.
I'll be atas, one level up. Of course, we cannot do this week after week without the generous contributions from our Patreons. The list goes on and on. Thank you so much. We started off in April with just a few names, and in less than a year, we have almost 40-ish Patreons. If you want to join us as Patreon, go to patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions, where you get updates behind the scenes, and of course, footages that don't get to go onto the main channel on YouTube. And thank you to our sentient entities, Elaine Chua, still holding out the first spot, Alsatian Aiden Chua, Yumiko Grimm, ZP Matt from Germany, Queen Lai, Lim Tek Chuan. Lim Tek Chuan is an artist, actually. Elvin Sensei, who's right now in Kuala Lumpur, working on a project helping Supernatural Confessions out. More on that next time. VL, Casey Chan, Alexa O, Janice Ang, Jacqueline N, Yong Kwan Yu, who is now running masterclass in spiritualism versus science. Very interesting stuff. More on that next time. Han Jay, my buddy. Ko CC, the new name that came in on Sentient Entities this week. Wandering Spirits, we have Joel Goh, Deborah Confield, Jia King Toh, Linda Hayden, Alex, Jess Neo, Jeffrey Fish, Bibit Teo, Tay Hak Wee, Two Sense, Elvin Lim, Kenny Polaris, Jayanti Saritzu, Ezekiel Kevin, Terrence, TTB, Juju Bejume, and new name this week, HW Tay. Restless Souls, we have Sichieto, Grace Chai, Candy Chia, Ron K, Jack Ong, Nicholas Poir, Burke, Serene Tan, Rachel Y, Kelvin C. Alrighty, guys. So, in fact, if you guys are my patrons, you would have received the patron bonus content on today's featured confession already that's been posted up on Patreon.
Have they received their free gift yet?
Some of them has.
Wow. And please let us know how you love it.
Yeah. And I have actually put the Patreon donations to good use, John.
Tell me.
25%. I actually asked the Patreon to vote on the poll. I said would like to give 25% of the takings for a good cause, and I asked them to poll. You want to do the orphanage, the old folks home, the free free soup kitchen, medicine, free medicine, or Coffin for the Destitutes. 57% voted for Coffin for the Destitutes. So,
interesting.
25% of what I've collected so far is about $500. And I have shortlisted a few places who would accept that donations for a good cause.
Please let us know when you've chosen the final one so we can support. Yeah.
And also, I have put part of that money to hiring admin staff, so to speak, to work on a lot of behind-the-scenes administrative matters to keep things moving fast so that I don't get bogged down with the day-to-day answering of emails, posting out stuff, and I can keep churning out contents. Also because, you know, we have our live show coming up next year, which I will need all the focus on together with you, John.
Ooh.
It's on the 6th of January. Early reservation begins now. Ticket price to be confirmed. The reason for that is we're trying to keep price as low as possible, and we are trying to get as many things free as sponsors coming in and all that. So we hope that we can get some of these things settled and release the prize by end November. But if you want to join us an early reservation, as of last week, post-show, we have 20% of tickets already reserved. So if there's 80%...
Wow, that's fast.
Yes. message me 9459-4931. Let me know you want to have a seat reserved and I will settle that for you.
Yay. I think we wanted to do something special with this year's Life Live. It's not just a chance for all of us to get together, right, and meet up, but it's also a chance for people who don't know SC or who haven't discovered the joys of SC to have a chance to taste it firsthand, right? So if you have friends who you think might be potential SC fans, bring them along. You know, sometimes it's easier to get engaged when it's a live event, right? You know, yeah, some people are not in the habit of listening to podcasts or, you know, going on live streams and stuff. So yeah, bring them along for a real thing, you know, a real time ghost sharing kind of outing. And then from there, you know, we can get to know them. So yeah, it's a good chance to make new friends.
I find that SC community is divided into a few different subcategories. There's a live show folks.
Yep.
There's those who have never listened to the live show, only listen to the podcast version of the live show.
Yes.
Then there's those that's only listening to the featured confession. And of course, there's you crazy motherfuckers who just listen to every single content that we put out. Thank you so much. And to thank one more partner that helps us out every October is Nocturne Noir. Today is the last day. If you want to get your Nocturne Noir, and this is according to Jason, who is the founder of Nocturne Noir, nobody else in any of his network is getting 30%. It's only an SC special because we were pioneer with him from the get-go, and we still maintain this 30% only for SC community. Go get your bottle. It's delicious. The patrons have tried it. I know for a fact that some of the sentient people have started buying more and more bottles already for Christmas. Use a SC Super 30. You get 30% off. It's really a good deal, really.
Valid until what time? Midnight.
Tomorrow. I mean, if you put it in, I don't think Jason is working now and turning off the...
Okay. So last chance. Okay, everyone. Get your 30% off.
Now, I just want to give you guys a bit of info about Nocturne Noir. It's not just enough for me to tell you Nocturne Noir is a good drink. Nocturne Noir is what... Okay, so someone was asking me, what's a Nocturne Noir drink? Is it a whiskey? Is it a coffee liqueur? No. Jason is very careful to say it's not a coffee liqueur. It is a barley, rye, and wheat base infused with 100% coffee and distilled five times. It's very, very smooth. It's nothing like I've ever tried before. This is legit. I'm not even bullshitting. John, you drink not?
Ooh, huh?
You drink not?
I do not have a free bottle because someone did not send me one.
Oh, tomorrow. I pass you yours tomorrow. I'm seeing you tomorrow. Yeah. I'm just saying that if you cannot drink finish, I will help you lah. That's what I'm trying to get.
Oh, I see. Oh, thank you so much. It's okay. Alcohol evaporates. No need help.
Yeah.
Okay. Minrisa is asking, how do I join the live show from overseas? Are you astro
are
travel?
You talking about the live show or the live show? Because right now you are on the live show.
Yeah, Minrisa's, you're talking about the live show, right? Unfortunately, you can, but it will be online after that, right? Because it will be recorded.
So it's not live, like you will not watch us live. You watch it pre-recorded.
Half alive.
Half alive.
Yeah, we will be streaming on YouTube after subsequently, right? So you can join us there. But if you can, hey, it's a good excuse to take a holiday, lah.
Yeah.
Fly to Singapore for the live show.
It's worth it lah, guys. It's worth it lah. Once a year lah. Where would the live show be held? It will be held in the middle of town. It will be held in Somerset.
Yeah. So very convenient, very central. Near no the MRT station. Not to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Abun is asking how many percent? Nocturnal is 38% cow.
Wow, 38%, that's a lot.
And you don't go be okay. Mixing, John. It's 4 degrees with ice is all you need.
Okay, can. Okay, I'm looking forward to my bottle.
Hello, yeah, RSVP by Grace. Keen live show 2024. 2024, not 2023.
Yes, that's right. The hashtag is live show 2024. And we will reserve for you.
Yes.
So yeah, try to reserve extras for your friends, etc. Okay, again, those who are new to SC, it's a good chance to introduce them to the crazy bunch here. Okay. Oh no, someone has taken over Grace's laptop because it's the same comment.
Hong
again and
Fat
again.
Lee, will I bring back any Ho Hia Ti good friends if I attend a live? No lah, you bring you. I mean, whoever you bring back, just between you and the other person lah. But we don't judge lah. Let's put it that way.
Yes, Paris, those who keyed in last week for your advance tickets, you are recorded. You're booked already.
Mm.
Yeah. And Jujube, that's the date. The date is 6th of January.
6th of January. Okay. So.
Yes, Miriza, I will end up crawling home with 38% alcohol. That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. Today, out of body.
Wow.
Your guess what? Astro Travel, is it?
That's what some of you were talking about already, right? Mm. The idea of astral traveling. Is that correct, Eugene?
That is the intention, was to hoodwink you guys. But one of the confession is out of body, but perhaps this out of body is really unique. And Navinet has rightly pointed out, it's the very first time Supernatural Confessions have gone past October.
Wow.
We are now in November.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. Because the last time we ended with the live show in October. And that was the end of the season, right? So,
so okay. I wanted to give you guys something different in November. You realize that the confessions I pulled up is really quite gawa. The last two weeks at least. Right?
Yep.
So today will be not an exception as well. In fact, when I read this first... Okay, guys, I just want you to know that both our confessors are on our chat today.
Ooh, yay.
Okay, so if you've got any questions, please ask. And if they are too shy to reply on the chat, they might WhatsApp me for me to reply on their behalf. Otherwise, let's talk about the first confession. I feel that we need to give you a bit of context before I narrate it.
Okay, wait. I have two comments that I want to share.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, this one from Puteri Shenaz Majid. Hey guys, I'm pretty new to SC and am hooked. You guys are super cool and love your content. Love from KL. Yay. Hi, Puteri. Okay, and then Lisa Marie Skading, our old friend. I think I can attend live show because my husband and I are coming to Singapore this November. We are moving to Singapore. Yay! Okay.
Welcome, welcome.
We and all the Hantu welcome you.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Okay, yes. Come.
Such nice, context. Warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay, context is.
Context.
We all know extra travel. And most times we hear extra travel is people out of body, see their body there, fly around, and then come back. At worst, they see some Hantu along the way, and then they spooked out, and then they come back. Our next confessor, or rather our first confessor, has an out-of-body experience, untrained, uncontrollable, and bit off more than she can chew. And some of the things that she sees is not just your ghosts, your spirits. She went cross-universe, otherworldly beings. And if some of you who are H.P. Lovecraft fans, you will know that the lore of H.P. Lovecraft is not your usual Pontianak white gown, long black hair. They see beings from other worlds. Now, this is a bit of a fringe level, but I'm just going to share you some of my very small knowledge of this field. Sure. Is that there is a belief that there is multiple universes and there are universe eaters. I know it's going to sound very much like a Marvel show, But I believe that Marvel took that concept from the mythology and the lore of things. And when you can travel through timelines and parallel universes, you talk about gods, you talk about beings. These are elder gods. These are world eaters. These are things that can chew up your soul. So this confession is interesting because it's detailed, it's long, and the confessor is live listening to us. So she has given me additional content via WhatsApp. And we think that you have a lot of questions for us, but perhaps let us go to the confession first and let's see what you guys have to say about that. Shall we?
Ooh, okay.
This one is called Meeting Other World Beings, confession by Leaf in Water. Hello. I just joined the SC Discord channel after binge listening several SC videos while doing work. I thought this might be a good place to share some things that has been happening to me since I was a kid, because sharing with other people has always worried me due to them thinking I might be crazy. Just as a heads up, I don't see things with the naked eye. I usually see things in my mind's eye and rarely see ghosts or spirits. More other dimensional beings and entities. I have a very solid belief of knowing that if I see things with my naked eye, I will lose my mind, quite literally. For context, I astral travel or astral project in my sleep and have been able to do that since I was around 12 years old. The first time it happened, I was up in Kedah, Malaysia, at my relative's place. I remember waking up from my sleep and seeing a blue, furry creature standing in front of me. It reminded me of a spider monkey, but it was humanoid. It had a curious, innocent energy. I remember being able to see my surroundings in the room and the sunlight lighting up the room, but I wasn't even seeing them with my eyes. In fact, my body was still asleep on the bed beneath me. However, I could still hear and sense noise and stuff moving around me. That was the first time. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't even tell my parents. It happened a second time where I saw this blue creature's friend, a similar looking humanoid with a darker fur color. They quickly left before I could make contact with them. For the next 1 to 3 years, I started waking up in the middle of the night or early in the morning around 5 to 7 a.m. having visitors. I would be in that same frequency or state where my body is asleep, but I am not. And I'm contained in my body while other beings communicated with me. There were some scary encounters, like one time, a voice that sounded like it was made of countless snakes hissing at me, saying how dangerous it could be for me to leave myself out in the open like this. They said it in a very menacing manner too. Whenever I'm feeling down, these otherworldly beings would come visit. But this time, almost all of them were shadow folks or demon-looking things. Out of proportion, menacing, ugly things. They took advantage of me, and I let them feed on my energies for a time. At one point, I think the good forces that were looking after me decided it was time to stop. And for a couple of years, I no longer had any visitors. I would still wake up from mid-sleep, but there would be none of this being around. In recent years, my astral traveling experiences took a different edge, and I began being able to lucid dream. I was not practicing or trained in any way. There are some places that I frequent and can instantly recognize the energy, including bookstores and this one place with lamps and clear water fields. I've had my fair share of being in dangerous situations in my sleep for the past 10 years, but two that I'll share here are more relevant for this point. First dream. I was walking in a shopping mall-like place. The place felt kind of queasy and slow and thick. There were other people there, but the impression I got was that they were all one same species of a certain creature. These creatures gave off an inky, parasite-like feeling, though they stayed physically away from me in my dream. I could sense that they were following me, however, watching my every step. I made my way to a sushi restaurant. The atmosphere was covered with a reddish hue, and the restaurant was empty. Inside, sitting at a table, was a being in a suit with an octopus for a head. If you guys know what H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu looks like, it was basically that, but with a human body. The situation felt increasingly dangerous. The being seemed to be waiting for me to sit down across it. I had the feeling we were going to negotiate and enter into a contract. Before I got a chance to sit, I jolted awake. I brushed it off as just a dream at first. But then, the second dream followed, months, if not at least a year later. Second dream. As mentioned before, I frequent bookshops in my sleep. Usually the same few ones. But that night, I noticed a new bookstore. It was small and dull, but there were books, so I went inside. After less than a few minutes of being inside, I noticed something was wrong. The bookstore seemed to be melting. The whole place was turning a yellowish green like slime. The next instant, I found myself sitting at the head of a red table, and surrounding this large table were indescribable things of every shape, size, and color. Unfathomable and incomprehensible. Limbs, tentacles, eyes, bubbles, slime, colors. But all of them were sentient, horrible looking things. There were countless of them and only one of me. In front of me, on the table, was a contract. It was in the big book and I instantly had a strong idea what was going on. These creatures were going to make me sign this deal with them. And what would happen is they would use my body, my abilities, to wreak havoc and consume entire realities. And it was an eternal contract. Time is meaningless on the other side. Only change matters. There was no way to get out of this contract without something terrible happening to me. I sat there for a while, adamant on not signing. I remember being so lucid as to think, shit, what do I do now? I'm trapped here. I don't think I could leave. These things aren't going to let me leave until I sign the contract. And I was afraid I'll be stuck here in this frequency forever, not waking up in the real world. Suddenly, a light sparked to life between my eyes, where the third eye is. It glowed and pulsed and a voice said to me, pray. I chanted the Buddhist mantra my mother taught me to chant to find peace. I believe this is the Kuan Yin mantra. The light glowed and a pure white bubble enveloped my being. I was transported to an in-between place away from the table. I was still in the bubble of light. The light in my third eye still glowed, but I couldn't see outwards. What I saw was this in-between place was divided into two parts. On the left was the table I was just at. On the right was an image of the universe. In front of me were two men. I immediately knew them that they were gods. One of them was peering at the mirror on the right. I saw in that mirror a large yellow creature that was unfathomably large. I had an ominous feeling and immediately recognized that this creature would have used me as a vessel to destroy and consume existence if I had signed a contract earlier. One of the gods came up to me. I was still chanting the mantra. He said kindly to me that I have to be really careful when I travel. This is what happens if I go somewhere without protection or without asking for permission first. I had a strong impression that he or they were the patron gods of travellers. He then drew a sigil where my third eye was. I saw it vividly in red. He said this sigil will protect me and to use it if I ever travel. It was like his patron sigil or something. I felt really grateful for him. The other god was still looking at the mirror to the right. He did something with his hand. And next thing I knew, the yellow creature had leapt onto another universe and consume it whole. Imagine this. a black background filled with countless white stars. Suddenly, a sphere of stars disappears from existence, leaving only a black void. I woke up soon afterwards. I never dreamt about these creatures again, nor the squid, nor the gods. From time to time, I would draw the sigil on my third eye before I sleep, or when I feel a part of my spirit traveling somewhere else. Experiences like this tie back to that one experience where the snake creatures were warning me about exposing myself to danger with such reckless traveling when I was 12. For those who intend to do so or try to lucid dream and believe in this woo-woo stuff as opposed to, you know, focusing on signs, don't forget protection. It can be manifesting a shield, an item of power, a prayer, but better to be safe than sorry. Better to have such precaution than unintentionally reaching a point of no return. I've been lucky enough to find a small community of people here in Malaysia who are energetically intuitive and are healers or mediums of their own. To me, I readily embrace this because the alternative seems to be the loony bin. And this community seems a better alternative to be accepted in this reality than the other route.
Wow. That is vivid. So some of you are saying super keras, huh? Keras kau, huh? It's a really, really out there story, right? And I think it's likely to divide the conversation in the chat. But wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing that experience. Since you were 12, that's crazy. Yeah. What a way to grow up. I kind of like what the snakes seem to imply, which is, yeah, it's really reckless traveling when you are 12 years old to be doing this. I wonder whether at any point did you ever feel in danger for your sanity or your life? I'm very curious. Please take your time to respond to that.
According to Leaf in Water, that's her name, right? Leaf in Water. She felt at some point her life was in danger.
But did you have a sense of what that meant? Because the experience itself is one that is quite phantasmagorical, right? You know, it's a metaphysical sort of experience. So what did you get a sense of what that danger would entail?
I think it's only at the later part, not at the front part. Front part, she was just traveling and seeing things, but it's only when time to do the contract signing and she felt she couldn't get out of that dream, like she was in a loop.
Yeah. So what I mean is, you can sometimes, because I imagine that sometimes you sense the fear, you sense the danger, but do you also get a sense of what that danger might be? You know, is this one of those situations that they have in a lot of films, for example, where if you die in your dream, you die in real life?
Yes, you know, that's what she feels.
Or does it mean that you just don't wake up? Or does it mean that you wake up and you are someone else, you know, or you're in a coma, you know? What did you think that threat would translate to in the real world as opposed to, you know? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. So from my understanding of this, what she has gone through, and this is speaking to some people who have been astral traveling, when you die in your dream, you just go into coma. Your soul don't go back to you. Yeah, so that's your death. Your body is, your vessel is still alive, breathing and pumping. You know, it has not come to its end of time. But your soul don't come back. You are like a zombie. And because it's an empty vessel, and anybody can go and squat inside your body, take over.
Right. Interesting. So while the story was going on, there were some people who were sharing. Paris Maitreya was sharing, when I astral travel last time, I also encountered the multi-universe way before the Doctor Strange movie. And it's similar, tripping through different dimensions. And he also says, I also visited bookshops and libraries on my travels, plus a Chinese restaurant that linked across a pond by a zigzag bridge. Ah, interesting. Well, not bad. I got bookstore, got Chinese restaurant. Sounds like Bras Basah. So you traveled to the Bras Basah universe.
That's one way to tell that you are astro traveling, I think. Because if there are multiple bookstores, then that's no longer reality, lah. So sad to say. Okay. It must be a parallel universe where books did not vanish from our lives.
There's one. But there's a belief, right, John? You know, the Akashic Records and the Library of Thoth. The Thoth is an Egyptian god, and the Akashic one, I think, was it Tibetan?
Yep.
Right. There are records. There are books, and some people who have lucid dreams have ventured to these places. You remember Emilia, right? The one we interviewed?
Yeah.
So Emilia had me on a guided meditation. This was 10 years ago.
Mm.
And so how she did it was, she got me to lie down and she says, you know, anchor yourself, think of white light, imagine, a lot of visualization.
Mm.
And to be very honest with our listeners, 10 years ago, my knowledge of the supernatural was textbook. It was less than textbook. It was pretty much just probably Russell Lee at best. And a lot of what I have heard, or even listening to confessions like Leaf in Water, 10 years ago, it would be on the realm of fiction for me. I would listen, I would enjoy, but if you ask me if I believe it, 10 years ago, it was very difficult for me to reconcile that as reality. So when she asked me to lie down and close my eyes and everything, I was like, okay, like, since I'm paying for this, I make best use of it, right? I'm not going to mock her. And it was amazing because I had a visualization of huge chambers with high roofs up, like, you know, those up kind of tunnels. And I was in library, floor to ceiling libraries. So then again, when I spoke to other people, after that fact, they also shared with me that they see books and library. So I was not as if it was a suggestion, it was planted in my head and then I saw it. I saw it first and then I had a confirmation with other people. So when Leaf in Water said she sees bookshops, and now that Maitri also said he sees bookshops, I'm like, okay, so that seems to be like the records.
I mean, so this is where we can divide two schools of thought, right? So for those of you who are really, who are interested in the idea of actual sort of places, right? Maybe not physical places, but, you know, metaphysical places that you can go to, you know, here's evidence that there is a common sense of this library / bookshop, you know, that you can go. I don't think you're allowed to buy things out of the Akashic Library. Yeah. So, you know, Leaf, let us know whether you felt it was a bookshop because you felt that you could walk away with those books, or whether it was a library like the one that Eugene went to, you know. On the other hand, you know, some of you may be looking at this from a rational kind of lens, right? Where you're thinking that there's a sort of explanation, a meaning behind these things, and that these are metaphors rather than real places. Then it also makes a lot of sense, because I think if you're dreaming and you're in a state of seeking answers, let's call it that, right?
Yeah.
Then up to this point, humanity knows only one way to seek answers, which is to go to the library. You know, so the library is an eternal image, right, of seeking, right? If your soul or your mind is seeking answers, where else are you going to go? Internet cafe, man? maybe, okay, a couple of generations from now, they'll be dreaming of like a room full of iPhones and they're just, you know,
like a land Googling, shop.
Googling on multiple devices at the same time. It's like, what's a book? Okay, so even astral traveling is going to change because of technology. Nobody will go to the bookstore, even astrally. That's very sad.
Yeah.
So next gen astral traveling will mean you just switch phone.
Internet cafe.
Switch to your astral phone. I tell you, these young folks don't even know what an internet cafe is.
Annoy.
Okay, right. Internet cafe. What is an internet cafe?
Why do you need to go to a cafe for internet?
Yeah, I got internet here. You know, so it's like, yeah, I think, you know, in a couple of decades time, you know, all the astral traveling stories will be very different.
Okay. Sorry, we just missed out on DJ Jason Lim. He popped in a $10 blessing and he has...
Yay.
Not so much a joke, but a comment. He said, I had an out-of-body experience every night. It turns out my body was having an out-for-snacks experience. He's feeling hungry.
Maybe that's the Chinese restaurant or the Zigzag Bridge.
Yeah. Remember the show Interstellar?
Yes.
When who's the guy's name? Hey. What's his name?
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey, right? He was in
All right.
And when he traveled into the black hole, remember he saw library books?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So because I honestly think that Nolan has some insights into the spiritual world.
Once again, it is a classic. It is a classic metaphor. You want to say knowledge, you have to say books.
Okay, fair enough.
No choice. You have no choice. There's no other way to say knowledge. Mm. You know? In the same way that, you know, now up to today, you know, we treat certain things as sort of eternally linked with danger, right? For example, the hissing of snakes.
Mm.
Right? The hissing of snakes since the earliest of humanity's time on Earth has always felt danger.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody hears a snake and go, ooh, cute. Right, so straight away is danger, right? You know, that sense of the reptilian. Mm. I mean, and that is also what Lovecraft draws from, right? If you want to talk about the octopus squid thing, right? You know, that's Cthulhu's image, right? You know, again, you know, it was a very instinctive thing for Lovecraft to draw on that as a sign of monstrosity. Right, because you know, given the time that he was writing, those were the most bizarre creatures ever. They're not mammals, they're not lizards, you know. These are things from the bottom of the ocean. You know, they cannot be understood, they cannot be studied. Now, of course, they are a lot easier to study and they are less mysterious.
Mm.
You know, so even the Cthulhu legends are changing because, I mean, like who doesn't think of octopus and squid as something that generates like lots and lots of cute YouTube videos, right? You know, watch them changing color, watch them do, you know, that kind of thing. So the sense of these things being mysterious and unknowable is starting to change.
Mm.
Right? You know, now you tell me octopus, I'm like, oh yeah, they can squeeze into a bottle. I've seen it. You know, or like, oh yeah, you can eat one on a stick with soy sauce. So culture changes the things that we dream of. You know, and the places that we travel to in our minds, whether for real or whether metaphorically or metaphysically, it will change. It will change, okay. You know.
So there's two, again, another frame of, another school of thought, right? So this is, on one, I hear you, what you're saying is, it is our mind conjuring up symbolisms to help us understand and make sense of what we see. And we have talked about this before, right?
That's what half of, I think, the group will... Who are coming to this from a different perspective, you know, it's the easiest way for them to understand it.
Yeah. Like the sotong is not a sotong, the book is not a book, but it is, you know, not an actual place, but a symbol. And also we talk about this many times when we look at a ghost or we look at a spirit, why do we see white gown, long black hair? It is our mind trying to make sense of something that we understand to be fear.
Mm.
Then on the other end, the other camp is that these are not a figment of our imagination, but an actual place in different planes that actually exists before our time and after our time. And there's one other comment that Leaf in the Wind actually texted me. She said that she has no, in the early days when she was growing up as a teenager, she had no control over her astral self. It was so flimsy that if someone comes up to her and go boo and shock her, her soul literally goes out of the body into somewhere else.
Ah, okay.
And it's a bit like you watch the Michelle Yeoh show, Everything, Everywhere, Anything, all at, Something, yeah, everywhere, All at Once.
Everywhere, Everything, All at Once, yeah.
Where she will just flip into different universes and, you know, it's very shocking to her. She described it as that sort of moment.
Wow, okay. It's a very frisky soul.
Actually, I want to find from the comment section, you guys... I know Paris, you have experience in this. I know Leaf in the Wind is also here right now. She just said hello just now. Anyone else have this? Because
in the water, you put her in the wind.
Oh, okay. Leaf in the water. Because Leaf in the Water is actually part of a community in Malaysia that you know, to them, this is the norm. I want to hear from you guys more on this. Like, are you out there? Let us know if you're in the comment section.
Satin Roses was sharing, I had two out-of-body experiences when I was 20 plus. While hovering near the ceiling, I saw my body sleeping on the bed. That's one. The other experience was when my soul flew into a comatose body in the hospital. Well, you are the one possessing all these comatose bodies. Oh, Satin Roses. Oh, now we know who you are. Please tell us, Satin Roses, please tell us more about the second experience. How... As in you were sleeping and your body
left, you left your body and then you went to the comatose body? Is that what happened? And did you choose to go to the body, or were you like sort of just thrown there?
Wow.
You know, macam Michelle Yeoh like that, right? Please let us know a bit more. We'd love to hear about it.
Wow. Hey, this is amazing, because in that case, you know, okay, so we always talked about, if you could be invisible, John, what would you do if invisibility was your power?
No, nothing different from what I would do.
You won't, like, you won't like hide out in a girl's toilet and just take a peek without getting caught? No? None of that?
No. That's really old school.
But now, if I have Satin's power where I can astral project myself into the body of comatose patient, how much of a field day I would have just popping to bodies in and out?
Maybe it's only the comatose patients that you can pop into. La.
Yeah. La. So I go to the coma ward, I pop in, I get up, hey everyone, then the whole family, then I lie back down and I just fly off into somebody else's body. Or if I find, you know, find a body that is like, oh my God, this is extremely good looking, let's see how this body is going to be like, I pop myself in and live that person's life.
Okay, I suspect the only reason you can pop into them is because they're comatose, right? I.e. no one's at home. And just because you go in doesn't mean you can throw a party, yeah? You're still comatose. Yeah. I don't think you can like, oh, wake up and hi. You know, there's a reason why they're comatose.
Okay, so Satin Roses replied, I cannot control my soul from leaving my body.
Okay.
Imagine my lines have a question. Question for astral projectors. Is it easy to astral project if your energy is grounded or not grounded? I heard both answers. Leave in the fire. If you are listening in, let us know what Imagine my lines is asking.
Wow. So first she's water, then she's wind, now she's in fire. Your leaf, you are in all the elements.
Okay. Leaf in earth.
Okay, Leaf has responded about what we're talking about earlier. I like to think that these things are projections of what our minds can mostly closely relate our reality to, and that they don't actually look like that. Yeah. Huh. You know, I'm thanks for sharing that, Leaf. I think I'm quite inclined to believe that too. I think that, you know, it's not that there is a bookshop somewhere out there, you know, it's a universe of bookshops, but that experience of entering a place that, you know, retains knowledge, that, you know, stores, you know, the knowledge of the universe, the knowledge of humanity, and the only way that the human mind can sort of start to deal with that, right? Even if you're astral traveling, is books.
Yeah.
You know, so no, whether or not you are actually traveling, or some may say that, you know, you're dreaming, you're tripping, there's so many sort of shades, right, of this. But whatever it is, the reason you see what you see and, you know, remember what you remember is because that is the only way your mind can make sense of it.
Yeah.
So whether you are dreaming or traveling or out of body, your mind still functions the same way.
Okay.
You don't get a different mind. Right, right. Same camera. Whether you are at home or you're on holiday, same camera. Right. So you will process things the same way. Right. So it's no use saying whether it's real books or not. Yeah. You know, but the meaning of the books is consistent.
Fair enough.
Right?
Yeah.
That there is knowledge, and you are offered this knowledge. You know. Right. I don't know what the meaning of the Chinese restaurant on the zigzag bridge is, but, you know, that's worth thinking about.
Sure. ZP Matt just joined us. She says, guys, hello. I miss a lot. Completely forgot the daylight saving time.
Oh, dear.
Paris Maitreya Lim says, got one weird incident where I attended an Akashic Records workshop. One of the ladies who never met said that my spirit visited her in the bedroom when she was wide awake.
Oh, I think there are posters in the bookshop about you, Paris Maitreya.
I mean, Paris, if she was trying to hit on you, probably got the wrong target audience lah.
Beware this traveler.
Someone was asking just now, I felt the question was quite good. I didn't have time to answer it. Sorry if I forgot who asked that question. How does one astral project? I think since we're talking about astral projection and all that, it is a very legitimate question for those who do not know how to astral project. You have heard about it, you're curious about it, and you hear people can just pop in and out like as if, you know, this is Doctor Strange, you know. And we are curious. On behalf of those who cannot do it, we are extremely curious. Let us know in the comment section and we will read it out. How does one astral project, or anyone else who are listening in and you're also astral projectors, I know it's different for everybody. We want to hear as many as we can. How does one astral project? I will share with you my astral projection as you guys are taking your time to type in your comment. I am trying to astral project. I'm trying to learn the arts of astral projection, not from the Western side, but actually from one of the, should I even mention the name? A very renowned monk who is specialized. His gift is astral projection and traveling through worlds. So I'm adopting his methodology, and I have at some times been able to astral project, not with control. I cannot control the destination. And I have also been told not to do so without grounding myself, without having protective circle around me. Because the last time I did it in June this year, I brought back things with me into this world. I can't see. I know it was a series of bad luck, but those who can said that I brought things back, not of this world. So take the information as you will. I'm not even sure how to interpret that. But astral projection, I felt, would be very dangerous if not done right. I know that for me to astral project is to clear my mind, focus on my pineal gland. And funny enough, I have to say the words, I am ready to travel. So prior to my astral projection, I would do a lot of deep breathing. Like, I literally blow out this way. I do it constantly until it becomes a rhythm. And then I find my breathing shallow out. And as I'm focusing my third eye, the space becomes a bit wider. Like I feel like how do I describe this? I'm popping out of 2D into a 3D frame and I'm weightless. That's the best way I could describe it. I know we are 3D, but when I close my eyes and I imagine it is in 2D, and the minute I astral travel is I pop into a 3D universe. Does that make sense? Does that work for the rest of you guys listening in as well? Or am I sounding crazy to you all?
quasi-crazy, I think. Yeah, I think... I mean, it's the hardest challenge, I think, you know, when talking about these things is capturing it in words, right? Because it is not, we do not have enough language to capture these things, you know? And I think a lot of what we have read, you know, in the history of fantastical writing, you know, is people trying to capture these, you know, these and similar experiences, right? You know, and half the time, the more you try to explain it, the more reality they develop in words. You know, and then the words become more real than the experience was, because the experience is something that was ephemeral, right? That was, you know, and you were trying to capture it, and what you managed to concretize is the words, and then people take the words as they are,
But it's
at face value, and then that becomes a reality, which is not necessarily the reality that you were trying to describe.
It's the best I could describe at this point in time.
But what people take from your description is not what you put in.
Like how I imagine it here and how I'm saying out is probably like a percentage of it.
Yeah. So now from what you're saying, people are thinking, oh, you're popping out of a frame like an IKEA, you know, IKEA photo frame like that, you know, and then if someone were to then make a cartoon of it, it would be like the Simpsons 3D episode. Right. So, you know, it's very dangerous to sort of take at face value, you know, everything that is described, because language is so insufficient to capture these things, you know. But I think the best we can do is just collect and compare, you know, because I think over time, if you look at different descriptions of things, you start to understand. And I'm just hearing, you know, between the bookshops and the libraries and all that, you know, I find myself starting to get a sense of this place that these souls are going to. I don't know why they go there or what their aim is in going there, but I can sort of see the attraction of a place like this, you know. I can understand why a soul would want to travel there, you know. And yet I imagine that, you know, none of us are seeing the same place, you know, or could possibly ever see the same place, right? That's the whole thing about dreams. You know, we all meet and we all go to the same places in dreams, but no one remembers them the same way, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we need to say a big thanks to a few other people who have given us their Ooh. Blessings. We have Raven.
Yes, yes, yes.
Raven, thank you so much. He says hi. We have BB Teo telling me good night, Jimbo and John. Have a pleasant week.
So early. BB Teo, so early, go sleep already.
I'll text her later. I think she okay. She tido.
And we have Koshka. Who says, I'm late. What did I miss? You have missed multiple universes worth of time. So, okay, but yes, don't worry, you can always rewatch the YouTube video.
Okay, so are we done with this? I mean, we talk about out of body, you can go for an entire episode, lah. Right? Oh, what's this? L said something.
No, I'm looking for the response okay. to my question okay, earlier regarding the comatose that. Body.
Sure. I'll read what else said, yeah, while you look for your answer. Yeah. Once I believe I had an OOB, that's out of body experience, while sleeping, I remember falling to the underside of my bed and then later was in the kitchen looking into the backyard and the house was dark as it should be.
Mm.
OOB is just so fun to have.
Okay, Satin Roses responded, okay, regarding the comatose body in the hospital, right? I couldn't get out of the comatose body, but I heard the nurses talking nearby in the end. And thankfully, I managed to leave the body and went back to my own body. See? So not as fun as you think, Eugene. Pop in, pop out, and then run around, live their life. There's even the possibility that you would be trapped inside the comatose body.
And someone also saying just now that, you know, if you go into if we believe that everybody has a guardian spirit, a guardian entity, you go in, you cannot whack by the guardian spirit.
See? Okay, Leaf and Water was sharing that astral project outside of sleep and brought back something that I thought was a spirit animal. Then the nightmare that I kena from it told me it is not. In the end, have to release it. So please, okay, do not be like Eugene, go and dream, then go and collect things. Okay? Collect things for your museum. Don't anyhow. Is astral travel the same as meditation? Ho CM is asking.
No, not the same.
Come tell us what's the difference.
Meditation is about clearing your mind, feeling your balance. There's so many different kinds of meditation as I've just discovered. I'm just a newbie in it. I'm probably like beginner mode in meditation. But some people meditate for power. Some people meditate for gifts. Some people meditate for just to find a balance, strike your balance. Some people meditate to chakra, whatever, right?
Don't people also meditate to astral travel?
And people also meditate to astral travel. So I would say that astral traveling, if I want to say that astral traveling is part of meditation, obviously some of our members, they just...
I think it's the other way around, that meditation can sometimes be part of astral traveling.
Yeah, part of.
Because it's very, unless you are Michelle Yeoh, it's very hard to astral travel just like that.
Yeah.
While you are, you know, while you are walking down the street, you know, Hachi. Right? You have to put yourself into the right mode, right? In the right mood.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think the meditation is a doorway, all right, towards preparing yourself to astral travel. Mm. That I can believe, lah. You know.
Imagine Dragons. I read on Reddit, AP astral projection sub that many AP sessions can get sexual, like people have AP orgies. Is that true? I cannot say that for myself. When I astral travel, there is no bodies around for me to have a quick nookie session. If there was, I cannot confirm nor deny that I may partake in that. But this reminds me of the show 8. Remember when they
Sense 8. Yeah.
Where they could all astral travel to each other's house and they have sex, you know. If we could, I'm sure we would.
I think if we could, Eugene, you will just be comatose somewhere because you will always be traveling.
Yeah.
You will never come back. Wow, interesting. Okay, Peter Lee has this nice comment. Bookshops, ghost spirit tree is crying out from the dead paper. see, imagine you actually travel to the bookshop, then like all the spirits of the trees are out to get you. Yeah. Oh dear.
That's one. The most terrifying out of body experience is when you come back and you see a body lying in a coffin. Shit.
Travel too long. Yeah, because Leaf and Water was saying that, you know, time doesn't matter when you're there, right? So, Oh dear. But yes, I think the message for today is everyone make sure you travel with protection, right?
Yeah.
Number one, in case there's an out of body orgy and you better bring protection, but also spiritual protection is necessary. Don't anyhow.
Now 11 o'clock right now. Once again, I see RSVP by Grace putting in the message. Live hashtag live show 2024 to reserve your ticket. Live show happening 6 January 2024. Early reservation starts now. Hashtag live show 2024 and we'll put you down in the reserve list. I understand some of you may not be able to make it, like Juju Bay, but you want to reserve anyway. Well, go ahead and reserve. Ticket price will be confirmed soon. I think as of last week, 20% of tickets have been snapped up. You're not too late. Now, just to give a bit of a shout out to our Patreon, LEX. She is selling these mugs. And I reserved one of them. I've yet to pay her and collect it, but I will do so. This is my own Christmas present for myself. And there are other mugs as well, horror theme in collaboration with Supernatural Confessions. Let me know if you want it. I would love to support her. If you want to support her as well, then let us know. This is handcrafted. Each one.
Where can we go to see those mugs?
You got to come out to Changi where she stays or come to my place.
No lah, I mean as in, is there a gallery of images somewhere?
Good question. I think I'll have to put it up.
I can't really see the mugs from this photo. Yeah.
Good point. I'll have to put it up. Also, Pancha Kosha Cleansing is happening on the 19th of November. Did I get the date right? 19th is a Sunday. 19th of November. Guru Murali is back every quarter and this is perfect for you to buang sui, wash away bad luck, anything that's attached to you, your chakra needs recharging for the end of the year. Pancha Kosha Cleansing, 19th of November, only limited slots left. Obviously, we cannot have too many because we start at 9 a.m. and we need to finish before 12. Otherwise, it gets too hot to sit in the beach. So I think I got about 4 slots left if you guys want. 19th. November is on a Sunday. Get in touch with me, 9459-4931. And of course, Walk with Hantu every Saturday. I'm not sure if we're going to take a break for Christmas, but we'll see. We'll see. Every Saturday, 7:30 to 10:30, if you want to join John and I, this is an exclusive experience where you get to meet the host of Friday Night Live, who will lead you on a 3-hour adventure and still have a drink with you after that. Walk with Hantu is worth every single cent, according to our those who have attended. That's not what I said, that's what they said. And
we have a few more slots for tomorrow. I think tomorrow night we have a tour, we have a walk, and I think we have about 3 or 4 slots possibly. So if you are suddenly free this weekend, tomorrow night, get in touch with Eugene at the nearest toilet stall number.
9459-4931.
And join us. Okay, it's a very unique experience. We won't be doing the tour for very long. We don't know when it will end, but and also when Changi will change. But yeah. Grab the opportunity. Shout out to Gerard Tay. Thank you for your donation. It looks like a dinosaur doing a funky dance. Is it a hippo? Oh, can't tell some of these logos. But yes, it is your first super chat. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you. And the last message we have is from Ajahn Yom. If you've seen my confession last week where Ajahn Yom was doing Satyan. And if you guys look at Satyan and you want someone trustworthy or you just want to go in and ask questions, change your luck around, Ajahn Yom is in town. So get in touch with me or get in touch with Rick. The number is here. Tell them you're a Supernatural Confessions community member. He got some goodies for you. Okay? Special rate. One more thing. Palo Santo Kit are still going strong. Guys, you want to cleanse yourself? Palo Santo Kit is where it is. I have Palo Santo myself every day. I got a feeling now I smell more like Palo Santo than my own Chanel perfume. Okay. John, cannot hear you. Open.
Shout out to Leaf in Water, first confessing for her super chat. Yay. Thank you for your super chat in ringgit.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right. Nice, nice, nice. Okay.
Peter Lee needs a bowel cleansing. Okay. Bowel cleansing, that one I got a different product for you, Peter Lee.
Cool, cool, cool. Please let us know again if you have any experiences to share regarding astral traveling. Again, that seems to be what we're talking about today, or your out of body experiences. Please let us know, or even if you are part of the group, if you're part of the community that has astral traveled before, you know, there's a community in Malaysia. Is there one in Singapore? I'm curious to know. You know, is there Astral Travelers Anonymous, right? You know, it'll be quite nice.
You guys
find
need to register
more
with the Ministry of Supernatural Affairs. You cannot have this group like that without, you know, our stamp of approval.
That's true. We are the ones who issue the astral passport that you're talking about. So
Yaya, though, we all
astral immigration. Anyhow. But you'll see our poster. You see our poster in the book.
Stella Chan, thank you very much for your blessing as well. Cool. Keep it. What she said? Keep it real. Keep it. See me? I cannot see the word. It's blocked by my heart shaped emoticon.
Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up.
Stella Chan. Eugene is always up.
Nice. How can we register for the cleansing? Satin Roses.
Message 9459-4931. One number. You know, forget 62353535. Forget 999. The new number to remember is 9459-4931. Okay. Now, John, before we get you to narrate the next confession, I must tell you that the confessor is in the chat group with us. For obvious reason, as you're listening to the confession, you would understand why she wants to remain anonymous. So I do respect that due to the sensitive nature of this confession. If you have any questions, type it out. L, you are listening in. You can answer me by WhatsApp and I will reply this to the community. Okay, if you're listening in. Now, we talk about out of body. And we talk about out of body by choice. What if something attacks our vessel and pushes our soul out, and we are just in the drive? We are no longer in the driver's seat, but we're in a passenger seat, seeing something else control our life. That is even scarier than seeing Cthulhu, world-eating monsters, because right now, on a mundane level, you are seeing someone else making love to your wife. You're seeing someone else leading your life and you do fuck all. That, to me, is the true fear of this confession. This one is titled People Change After Marriage. Confession by L, narrated by the sexiest voice in Supernatural Confessions, the immortal Jonathan Lim.
Eugene, I read your book about possession and I felt it hit very close to home. I understand how you felt, and it's something I have gone through as well. Not many people will understand this, and I commend you for what you are doing for the community, giving us a place to speak out about this. I had all but buried this in the recesses of my mind until I read your book. Then the memories flooded back. I'm tearing up as I'm writing this to you. Please keep my identity confidential. My ordeal started the same time as yours, but unfortunately, lasted for almost 5 years. This incident is regarding my husband. It came suddenly. I didn't know how or what triggered it, and I still don't. When it happened, I received no help from my family members or my in-laws. I was all alone. No one knew what to do. Initially, we all felt my husband was just stressed out by the wedding and the new life. We went with that for close to half a year. But his behavior only escalated and became worse. We went to different doctors multiple times over the years, even went in and out of IMH a couple of times. When he was on medication, he would just shut down and zone out, just sleeping all day. Needless to say, I became the sole breadwinner. We had been dating for about 3 years before tying the knot. My husband was a very charming man. I always knew him to be kind and friendly, an extrovert with a wide circle of friends. We held our wedding at the old Hilton Hotel, the one beside Forum Shopping Mall. and invited our families and many of our friends. Up to this point, everything went well. There was the usual drinking and merrymaking, but he held his liquor well, and also his brothers helped to drink the bulk of it. We partied even more after the wedding amongst the brothers and sisters and some close friends. This was when he let loose and got really wasted, which I didn't mind. We were all having a good time. The last guest left at 5 a.m. and my husband and I crawled into bed and slept the day away. However, my sleep was broken multiple times by his sudden raving. It was as if he was having nightmares. He would scream, struggle as if someone was choking him, and then fall back to sleep. I went back to sleep too and didn't think too much of it then. When we got up that evening, he had bruises all over his body. Big purple welts that were not painful, even though they looked like he had been punched or hit multiple times all over his body with a baseball bat. His demeanor and behavior had also changed. He was cold, unresponsive, and preferred to be left alone. I was very hurt. The man I loved and married overnight had become someone I didn't recognize. I gave him space, thinking that it was just a bad hangover, and the last thing he needed was a nagging wife. There was post-wedding stuff to handle anyway, so I busied myself with that. This behavior continued through the following days, and by the end of that week, I confronted him, and we had a big argument. I can't explain, call it woman's intuition, but I saw in his eyes that he just wasn't there. There was no light, no love, only emptiness. I packed and went back to my parents, only for them to scold me for not being more understanding and more giving. Married life is like that, they said. I think they must have spoken to him or something, because 3 days later, he came to pick me up, and I went back with him. He was not apologetic, which he usually is after any of our fights. This time, he didn't apologize, and it made me question myself that perhaps I'm really the one who's not understanding enough, and maybe things have changed, or I have changed, or maybe I just need to manage my expectations. I'm the wife after all, and since the wedding, we still hadn't consummated our relationship, so I decided maybe I should make the effort to mend the relationship. That night, I dressed up and initiated intimacy. He reciprocated. Finally, there was some life in him. Before we got married, my boyfriend was the kind that enjoyed the loving, sensual sex. But as a husband, he was now rough and aggressive. A total 180-degree change. Sex was painful and hollow for me. I just felt used. But I kept giving anyway, hoping things would change. Eventually, it just became a routine, nightly, of him taking and then going off to sleep or going off to his study to do his own thing. Things improved during the honeymoon. We went to Spain. That was 6 months after the wedding. Thankfully, though, because the honeymoon almost did not happen. We were just fighting daily, but since it was paid for already and no refund, just go, lor. Once overseas, he was back to his usual old self. And those 3 weeks were so precious to me. We talked at length, the most we had ever spoken to each other since the wedding. And I was full of hope, but it was short-lived. I didn't know then, but the honeymoon was the last I would see of my husband. He told me some things on the honeymoon that should have been a red flag, but I didn't know how to react to that or who to look for. This was before I discovered Supernatural Confessions. During the trip, I asked him about his sudden change in attitude, and he said he had honestly no idea or recollection of it. He remembered the day after the wedding night, and in his memory, he didn't sleep at all. He was awake and walking around the room. It was crowded, but he couldn't remember the faces or who they were. He saw me in bed beside a person he couldn't recognize. After that night was a total blackout. He had glimpses of memory, but they were either fading or not anything to do with me or the house or the family. When I told him the things that had happened, he looked at me, confused. In his words, it felt like a prolonged night of hangover that lasted for 6 months. and he only regained consciousness on the plane. What was startling, though, was that he said he remembered very clearly that in his dream state, he kept seeing another man in the house. It was as if he was watching a scene from a movie, could only watch but couldn't interact. I told him, it's okay, things are better now. And back then, I honestly believe it would be. But the minute we touched down at Changi Airport, he was back to his cold, detached self. Eugene, I cried so many nights until I got no more tears left. I felt helpless. I didn't know what to do. He would leave the house for work and not return home until the wee hours of the morning. Later on, I discovered that he didn't even go to work and he had been fired from his job. I reached out to my in-laws. This was the first time I poured out the entire story to them. When they called him, he didn't even recognize them. The silver lining during this turn of events was that for the first time, I didn't feel alone. His sister and parents intervened and dragged him to see a psychiatrist who could only diagnose that he was burnt out and that such cases were not unusual. To me, this was not enough. I knew it was not normal, but since I wasn't an expert, what can I say, right? We saw different doctors for their opinions until eventually we decided to check him into IMH just to protect him from himself. Our families were not religious, so we didn't have a single place of worship to go to. But through a relative's advice, we went to the Waterloo Temple to pray and seek answers. We met a fortune teller who had a shop opposite the temple, who told us that it was probably because my husband's birth time clashed with some cosmic event and that this phase shall soon pass. So we waited. All we could do in the meantime was just care for him, sedate him, and wait. The phase never ended. By the beginning of the third year, we were at our wits' end. We had been to different temples in Malaysia at the advice of friends and relatives. That's when we were finally convinced that what my husband was going through was not a case of mental illness. Various masters that we visited told us similar things, that someone had placed a curse on me and my husband, and that the spell is extremely strong. Slowly but surely, my husband's soul was losing the fight. There was something else in my husband's vessel taking control. And because we had waited too long to seek help, the entity in my husband's body had already taken root. After the visits with the temples, my husband would be a little more lucid, and I could see that he was fighting to regain his consciousness, but it was a losing battle. I would cry at night and beg him to come back. We made him drink talisman water and bathe in blessed water. We put artifacts around the house. And all of these would work for a while, but the solution wasn't permanent. We were told that he had ingested something someone had given him, or that whoever had a hold over him probably had direct connection, and the only way to break the spell was to find out who the spellcaster is, but we had absolutely no idea who it was. By the fourth year, we were willing to try just about anything. And one option was for me to enter a ritual to call my husband's soul back. The ritual was conducted outside a temple at a kampong house, an hour's drive outside Malacca. My parents came with me. My husband was warded at the time. The ritual materials involved getting water and earth from different sources, all of them of certain significance and meaning. I was made to lie on a carpet, close my eyes, while the priest chanted over me. My job was to call my husband's soul to me and make contact. As this was the first time, the entire journey was disorienting for me. I had a pounding headache and I felt heaviness in my chest. The priest kept having to pause and tell me to let go. I didn't know how to let go, not that I didn't want to. The priest had to keep resetting the session until he sounded quite fed up. But I think eventually, about an hour plus later, I fell into a trance-like state. And I saw my husband's spirit hovering in front of me. I was crying my eyes out. I remember asking him for answers, but he just hovered there, staring at me with sadness in his eyes. I think he tried to speak, but either he couldn't speak or I couldn't hear him. Eventually, he faded away, and I woke up from the trance. When we got back to Singapore a few days later, he was discharged and returned home. I sat with him at the dining table, which was still damn brand new and hardly used. We held hands and sat in silence. All he said was, "Sorry." When I went to bed that night, he was still seated at the dining table. And that was the last time I saw him. In the morning, he was gone, along with some of his clothes, his passport, and some valuables.
Oof.
Oh.
Keras.
Wow.
Keras.
Wow. That's an ending that I wasn't expecting. I was dreading it. I was dreading it that he wouldn't come back. The ritual. I mean, she managed to contact him, but that wasn't enough, right? Wow. I tell you, this story makes me feel many things, but I think the topmost feeling is helplessness. You know, because they tried, right? They went to as many masters as they could think of, you know, all these temples, you know, so many people recommended, and wherever they could go, they went. Right? For 4 freaking years they went. And half of those diagnoses are probably just nonsense. You know, just guessing, right? Who can tell? You know? Yeah. And then, you know, maybe towards the end they got closer to some sort of solution. And this close, they were this close, face to face, right? Yeah. He was floating there in front of her, and still, you know, you don't have the missing link, right? Whatever information it was, whatever, you know. And it just reminds me that, you know, however much we think we know, we still know nothing.
Yeah.
We still know nothing, you know. Whatever's going on out there, you know, it's so freaking huge and mysterious, right? And impossible to understand, you know? And sometimes, I mean, we try our best, like, we comfort ourselves with our rituals, you know, and our the things that we do know, but what a pathetically small percentage that is, you know? And sometimes something like this happens and you're like, oh, shit. You know, all the masters combined still cannot even guess what was going on, you know? I mean, yeah, was it black magic? Was it a spell? Was it a cosmic thing like the Waterloo medium said, you know, that he was just fated to happen? You know, what was happening, right? You know, was it, I mean, there might be some out there who are thinking this is demonic, you know, because it doesn't travel far away from some of the examples of possession that we, you know. So, I don't know. What do you think was going on?
I had a whole gamut of emotions when I was listening to the confession, to be honest. And frankly, that can be arranged to ask a very poignant question. Eugene, do you cry listening to a story? I would lie if I said there were no onions around. You know, I was a little bit teary-eyed. And because I understood very intimately that degree of helplessness. And I had gone through that, like she not rightly pointed out about my own journey. And I went through 2 years, and 2 years was harrowing. I suffered from PTSD. I wrote a book, and for her to go 5 years and only to be told it had gone on too long, which is why I started Supernatural Confession, because I want people to be able to have an alternative point of view, you know, to get help when you need. But back then she said SC wasn't around. You know, but I mean, I want to wear multiple hats here. I'm going to wear the hats of the audience, right? From the very skeptical to the believers. On one end of the spectrum, including myself, when I had gone through that, I myself had thought possession cases and all that, I very much want to believe it's bipolar, schizophrenia, something medical. And the reason why I wish that upon those who are possessed is because if it was any of the above, we understand science better, we understand medicine better, that there is a pill you can eat to prevent that outcome. But even if pills don't work, and when you go to multiple people and they tell you something else, how much are you willing to believe? how fast are you willing to believe? And even if you do, what is the help available to you? Now, for the very skeptical, and I'm going to echo the Clark says here, like he is, you know, he's playing the long court where he pretends to be possessed so that he can run away. But I think it's a lot easier to just say, no, I don't want to get married and be done with that, rather than to be married on the first night, not even enjoying the marriage, and then pull that con. It's a lot easier to say no a day before than to play the 5-year long con game. So to me, that reduces the probability of it being a pretense. Is it medical? Well, they have gone to many different doctors and it was not able to be diagnosed properly. And of course, he was taking medication. When he takes medication, he just numb out. He just numbs the hell out of his head. But there was no solution, even through taking of medication. Then when they went to the scientific route, the spiritual route, they had respite. You know, you drink the talisman water, you bathe with flour, you go to different churches, you go to even as far as Malaysia, trying to find solution, even putting yourself through trance. Now, if you're not in the spiritual world, you're not in the supernatural confession community, telling you to go to trance and calling a spirit is more than what most people can take. The fact that you went through all that and then you still lose your husband. And now, where it is small consolation for her is you're not having to live with that stranger in the house and having to take care of him. You know what I mean? Like, he has not run off on his own. You, L, you are a free woman ready to date and start your life anew. It's not too bad. 5 years is not that long for you to turn your life around and start anew. You get what I mean? Like, I found, yes, while the ending is sad, the burden has been taken off her. That's how I felt. Yeah. No easy way to put this.
I don't know if the burden is taken off. I think that, you know, for someone to spend 5 years hanging on and fighting beside him, this connection is great. You know, I can imagine, you know, any other person bailing on this sinking ship long before 5 years is up. And then the person disappears. Now there will never be a solution.
But what
this burden does not lift. Because you can't walk away from this.
But between taking care of that guy for life?
No, the wish is to have the husband back.
Yeah.
Not have the husband vanish and then wash your hands of the situation. That was never an option. If that was an option, then the door was always there.
Yeah.
She could have walked out of this anytime. She stayed. He left. That does not liberate her.
Now, what I want to know, right, and John, this is a question for you as well as the audience listening in. We always ask, what are we dealing with? What are we dealing with? What the hell is this entity and why? Like, some key things point out to me, and I think a lot of the audience have pointed this out as well. Why overseas? No problem. Is it because of salt water? They think cannot cross. And then there's also the person who cast the spell on him was someone who obviously he knows because he ingested it. So I was thinking a few things. Was that done at the wedding itself? Was that one of the brothers or the sisters? And if he or she has a bond with him, what kind of bond? I have a few theory in my head. I just want to hear from you and the audience first. What do you make of all these details in the story? What's your take on that?
At this point, I trust none of the details because all of it is various masters and mediums guessing. Right? You know, they were told that he consumed something. That was just one master guessing. Right? And there were so many different guesses pointing in different directions. They can't all be true. So I have no reason at this point to think that the consuming something was a better clue than any of the others.
I draw reference from this story based on another story confession that I've heard. Also wedding night, something happened. That one, we knew who it was. Right? Just parallel, there was a jealous suitor who did not like the bride or the groom getting married to someone else other than them. They have lost that person they love. So they put a curse on that person. If I can't have him, you can't have him either. And for that spell to be so powerful, my understanding is it requires some form of blood magic. I'm going to hypothesize that, again, this is way off tangent. It's just me putting the knowledge I have into this confession and trying to get some answers, right? Most spells and curses can be broken. We kind of hear so many confessions like that. When a spell cannot be broken, it's because it involves blood magic and life. Could it be the husband had a relationship with another woman and she bore him a child and she had to abort that child because he was about to get married to someone else, and in that vindictive state, she used her child, which is the bond between her and him, to kill him, to remove his soul. That's the only reason I can think of.
There's no evidence to support that theory. I see no evidence at all. If there even was such a person who was part of his life and, you know, had such a vindictive attitude towards him, there's no way that no one knew about it. The parents, friends, you know.
See, but
5 years, yeah. 5 years, they found no clues. We are not going to find clues here in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you see, you know, if yeah. I'm in her position, I want answers, right? I mean, she was looking for answers and having answers at all.
I really don't think we will solve the problem.
Yeah, we won't.
And we are not here to diagnose Elle's experience. I do feel that this is, number one, a mystery, but number two, a personal tragedy.
True.
Neither of those two is going to be solved tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should try.
And I'm just glad that we can provide Elle with a platform to talk about it. I think, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, being able to speak, you know, our journey and trauma is in some way therapeutic. Nowhere near solving anything, but having someone else to hear us and go like, yeah, I believe you, you're not crazy. Because I for a long while, I felt, you know, crazy. I couldn't speak to anyone about my own experiences. Yeah. Let's go to comment section. John, do you see anything, you know, that stands out and jumps out at you?
I think there's a lot of attempt to try to understand. You know, I think this is the problem. This is probably the most mysterious one that we've, you know, definitely that I've heard. You know, with such a drastic end. And I don't think that it's going to be easy to sort of, you know, even guess, you know, nor do I really see a point. I think the only bit of light that I sense, I mean, not light, but, you know, a clarity, and some of you have pointed it out, right, which is that, you know, the honeymoon, right, 3 weeks out of Singapore, there was suddenly a breakthrough. Right? And then the moment, you know, Changi Airport, and then it shut down again. So it quite possibly has something to do with being in Singapore, you know. And some of you out there have asked, you know, why not just move away, right? And I guess, I don't know if Elle, if you're there, was that something that you tried? Was that something you considered? Because that was a clear sort of direction that was a possibility, lah. You know, were there reasons you couldn't go? You know, did you take another trip just to check, you know, whether that what you experienced during the honeymoon could be repeated? You know, and then maybe it is something that's locally bound. I don't know, right? But yeah, and someone also pointed out that, you know, since he left with his passport, you know, maybe eventually he did go overseas, you know, and if that's the case, then, you know, I mean, for his sake, I hope he found peace, lah, you know, but he still left Elle and his family behind, lah, so, you know, not ideal in any way, you know. I mean, it's, I think if we're this confession and you know, this discussion brings us back to, I think, you know, the very origins of SC, right?
Mm.
You know, and Eugene's very personal experience, you know, which led to this group being formed. And it's good to remember, I think that, you know, this community here, this circle, you know, it's not just about ghost hunting and adventuring and you know, all these things, you know. I mean, that's what we occupy ourselves with. But at the same time, you know, it's good to remember that we are really up against the unknown. You know, yeah. we talk of knowledge, we talk of what we know, but you know, we don't, right? So let's always humble ourselves with that thought, you know, that we cannot really understand, you know. And then if you cannot understand, then how like that? You know, yeah. does it become hopeless? Does it become futile?
Mm.
No. I think it becomes about supporting each other, you know, in the face of, you know, I mean, whenever we talk about ghost stories, right, we always think of campfires.
Yeah.
Right? We always think of, you know, people sitting in a circle and telling. And one thing to remember about these campfires is that the origin of the campfire was not an exciting chance to share stories and entertain each other.
Mm.
It was protecting yourself by sitting in a circle around the only source of light that you have. You know, that is the metaphor of a campfire. It's not a Halloween hangout. It's not a, you know, it is your primal need to protect yourself by being in a group, a group that understands, but a group that shares your fear and shares your ignorance, you know, and shares your cluelessness, but at least there's a group.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm grateful, you know, that there is this group here, you know, and I really want to say thank you to everyone out there for being part of this group, because I think, you know, what we have been for Eugene, you know, what we can be for Elle, you know, and what we can continue to be for all those people out there who have experiences that they want to share and they need to share, you know, let's be that.
Mm.
Okay, let's be that community, because sometimes all we need is to listen. And not judge.
Yeah.
And that may be the best that we can do, because we have no other answers.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, man. Just to segue a little bit, here is a message for those of you out there who feel that you need a platform to talk. You can either do it on camera if you're willing to show your face, talk to me in private, or send me a message. And the best place to do it is through this. Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Trouble. I don't wanna get in trouble. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get into trouble. All right, we have come back to our segment. We're going about to say goodbye. Tonight, we have a confessor. This one is the Pontiana of 26 Sin Min. Almost took my baby. Now, if you have seen my previous investigation video at 26 Sin Min, after that ad, this lady, her name, she doesn't want to go by a real name. Her nickname is called Rosie. Rosie came up to meet me at my block downstairs and she shared this confession with me. It's quite interesting. She almost lost her child, John. Another sad confession. We didn't want it to be heavy, but apparently this is what it is. But also because she's such a great storyteller, I think she... Okay, spoiler here. Her daughter survived, okay? And is now an adult. So... Happy ending. Now, speaking of happy ending, in 20 minutes time, John the Immortal and RSVP by Grace is turning 1 year older. John!
Thank you so much. What is that on the balloon? I cannot see the design.
Happy birthday!
thank you.
What a segue from Elle's confession to happy birthday,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, that was slightly awkward, but thank you anyway.
Because it was 5 minutes to closing time, so I knew I had to find a way to say happy birthday to you and to RSVP Grace Chai. You both share the same birthday. Happy sweet 35 to both of you.
Because we the best people. Yeah.
So, John, what are you going to do tonight? Are you gonna sleep? Are you gonna go out, yes, party? You gonna get drunk?
No, no way. I've got a supper party waiting to happen.
With striptease and lap dancers and all.
Who knows? So once you all go off for your future confession, I will be going out of body.
Guess what? The birthday girl is here.
Yeah.
Camera's here.
Happy birthday! Oh no, I don't have a crown. Okay, you know, I have a beanie crown. Okay.
I'm not sure who's outside my house right now, but my house is very crowded with people. And they're all sitting on.
You sure
they're all outside.
You sure they're people? Okay.
They're all outside watching Supernatural Confessions.
Yay!
Oh man!
Thank you, everyone, for your wishes. Yay!
Tomorrow we will have Juju Bay, Jumi, happy birthday, John and Grace.
You. Thank you, Juju Bay.
Yeah. So John is gonna spend his birthday doing walk with Hantu with me.
Oh yeah. No, that's how I'm gonna end my birthday.
End his birthday,
right?
Yeah.
Oh sheesh.
Oh man.
Can la. So if you do want to desperately come and celebrate my birthday tomorrow in Changi, please join us for the
Oh my goodness, what happened to John? His voice just suddenly went off. Can't hear you, John. Testing. Okay, then you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for the messages. Yay. Thank you.
All right. John and I, yeah.
KK Heng's birthday.
Where? Today or so?
Yes, apparently. I don't know, today as in 4th November, is it? Yay, KK Heng! KK Heng is overseas, I think, right now.
KK Heng! Yay,
wherever you are, happy birthday.
Oh, no wonder you and Grace got so much in common. Ooh, woohoo!
Yes. You got the power.
Yeah, man. Oh, Gareth Cole, $9.99. Dr. Gareth Cole gives you
nice.
Happy birthday to Jonathan and Grace. Love, happiness, and good health. Choi Ilian hits us with a 30. RN, wow. Blessed birthday, John and Grace. Okay, la, John, tomorrow your milkshake starts 30.
Thank you so much, everyone. Yay.
Yeah. Thank you. Mine's today. Ajiv Sidhu.
Okay, as in. When is today?
I think it's still third.
As in third. Okay. Not too late. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear. Yes. Birthday time. Okay, all the Scorpio babies. I love it.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I say today is, we usually finish our season at the last day of October. However, John and I will be missing you and we want to keep doing this for just a little bit more. However, next week I'm having a lot of tour guide exams, so I will need 1 week of break. Just give me 1 week of break. I really am swamped for time. But I will be back the week after, okay? And maybe we might just test out a new different format. I don't know. We're going to have fun. But John and I, we're going to have dinner and we're going to sit down and we're going to brainstorm something together. And if you know John, he is the consummate professional, right? And we are going to do something great for you guys. I'm very sure of that. So, John, looking forward to our is that place that lock thing still around? That Chinese place?
I'll find out.
Okay. Dinner on me, okay? For your birthday trip.
You bet. Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay.
So we won't see you guys next week. Okay, don't be too sad without us. Will there be a featured confession though?
Yes, featured confession will play throughout. I have tons of featured confession that's not been edited yet. I have more confessions than I have time. But it's a good thing. I'm not complaining, guys. It's a good thing. I'm thankful for that.
And Hanjay says, all the best for your tour guide exams.
Thank you. Oh, yay. One last salvo from DJ Jason Lim. That joke, Jason Lim. Here's to birthday so eerie and thrilling that it sends shivers down your spine. Have a hauntingly good time, John.
Thank you.
Free Karas t-shirt for birthday. Abuna, he already got free Karas t-shirt already.
Got it.
He got free many things already. Don't know what else to give him.
Hint. Mark.
Mark. Ah, okay lah. Okay, I find a mark for you. Nah, okay.
It's okay. I don't know. I don't want to chop all the mugs. Okay? Make sure the mugs are out there, available for you guys to buy. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. What a great way to end. What a great way to meet my birthday. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. So head on down to our featured confession tonight, where Rosie shares with you her haunting experience of living at 26 Sin Min. Thanks. Now we're going to say our goodbyes. My name is the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay, telling you that the greatest trick the devil has ever pulled is convince you he doesn't exist. And over to my co-host, the immortal Jonathan Lim, with his message.
Thanks for being part of the campfire.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you guys 2 weeks from now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What did you find? You're listening to Supernatural Confessions.